Chapter 22. Prize-winning astrophysicist Corky Marlinson ushered Rachel and Tolland into his work area and began sifting through his tools and rock samples. The man moved like a tightly wound spring about to explode.
"All right," he said, quivering excitedly. "Miss Sexton, you're about to get the Corky Marlinson 30-second meteorite primer."
Tolland gave Rachel a "be patient" wink. Bear with him. The man really wanted to be an actor.
Yeah, and Mike wanted to be a respected scientist.
Corky rooted around in a shoebox and produced three small rock samples and aligned them on his desk.
"These are the three main classes of meteorites in the world."
Rachel looked at the three samples. All appeared as awkward spheroids about the size of golf balls. Each had been sliced in half to reveal its cross-section.
"All meteorites," Corky said, "consist of varying amounts of nickel iron alloys, silicates, and sulfides. We classify them on the basis of their metal-to-silicate ratios."
Rachel already had the feeling Corky Marlinson's meteorite primer was going to be more than 30 seconds.
"This first sample here," Corky said, pointing to a shiny jet-black stone, "is an iron core meteorite. Very heavy. This little guy landed in Antarctica a few years back."
Rachel studied the meteorite. It most certainly looked otherworldly, a blob of heavy grayish iron whose outer crust was burned and blackened.
"That charred outer layer is called a fusion crust," Corky said. "It's the result of extreme heating as the meteor falls through our atmosphere. All meteorites exhibit that charring."
Corky moved quickly to the next sample.
"This next one is what we call a stony iron meteorite."
Rachel studied the sample, noting that it, too, was charred on the outside. This sample, however, had a light greenish tint, and the cross-section looked like a collage of colorful, angular fragments, resembling a kaleidoscopic puzzle.
"Pretty," Rachel said. "Are you kidding? It's gorgeous."
Corky talked for a minute about the high olivine content, causing the green luster. And then he reached dramatically for the third and final sample, handing it to Rachel. Rachel held the final meteorite in her palm. This one was grayish-brown in color, resembling granite. It felt heavier than a terrestrial stone, but not substantially. The only indication suggesting it was anything other than a normal rock was its fusion crust, the scorched outer surface.
"This," Corky said with finality, "is called the stony meteorite. It's the most common class of meteorite. More than 90% of meteorites found on Earth are of this category."
Rachel was surprised. She had always pictured meteorites more like the first sample, metallic, alien-looking blobs. The meteorite in her hand looked anything but extraterrestrial. Aside from the charred exterior, it looked like something she might step over on the beach. Corky's eyes were bulging now with excitement.
"The meteorite buried in the ice here at Milne is a stony meteorite, a lot like the one in your hand. Stony meteorites appear almost identical to our terrestrial igneous rocks, which makes them tough to spot. Usually a blend of lightweight silicates, feldspar, olivine, pyroxene, nothing too exciting."
"I'll say," Rachel thought, handing the sample back to him. "This one looks like a rock someone left in a fireplace and burned." Corky burst out laughing.
"One hell of a fireplace. The meanest blast furnace ever built doesn't come close to reproducing the heat a meteoroid feels when it hits our atmosphere. They get ravaged."
Tolland gave Rachel an empathetic smile. "This is the good part."
"Picture this," Corky said, taking the meteorite sample from Rachel. "Let's imagine this little fella is the size of a house."
He held the sample high over his head.
"Okay, it's in space, floating across our solar system, cold-soaked from the temperature of space to minus 100 degrees Celsius."
Tolland was chuckling to himself, apparently already having seen Corky's reenactment of the meteorite's arrival on Ellesmere Island.